I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hello.
Hello. Not only happy Tuesday, but happy New Year.
Yes, happy 2026. Welcome to season 7. Right? How many seasons have we done?
I don't know. You're the only one who keeps track, I think.
It's 25 each.
Great.
Season 7.
Wow.
Welcome to season 7 of Killer Cuties Podcast.
That's amazing. Look at us go.
We're cruising.
Yeah. Well, I hope everybody had a very happy new year. Happy holidays. You know, all that good stuff while we were on a little break.
Hiatus.
Yeah. A little. Is a hiatus? How long does a hiatus have to be?
I don't think there's a time.
Great. Love that for us.
Yeah.
But we're back now. We're back in 2026. We're ready to go.
And our first movie of the year is Dog Soldiers.
It is.
But before I don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, calm down.
We're going to recap 2025 with our top 5 horror movies of the year.
And maybe granted, top 5 we covered.
Yes.
So not new releases last year. Obviously, we all know that was Sinners. We don't need to talk about it. But
yeah, we didn't do an episode on that.
We didn't do an episode on that, unfortunately.
I've begged.
Yeah. You missed your chance.
Yeah.
You needed to do Death of a Unicorn that month, so we didn't do Sinners.
That's fucking crazy. Well, that movie was fun. But
fun is the word for it, yeah.
2025, reviewed by Killer Cuties Podcast movies, which could include movies that were not released in 2025. And then, we're going to rank our top 5 2026 horror films we're looking forward to.
Yes. A little most anticipated.
Yes.
Granted, I feel like all of them haven't been announced, so like, maybe there will be more along the way that we get hyped for, but
it'll change.
For the ones that we're aware of now.
Yeah.
All right, cool. We'll kick us off, Katie. Tell me your top 5 of 2025.
Yeah. Thanks. And again, these are not 2025 releases.
Right.
They're movies that we have reviewed. I'll start with my honorable mention. Bones and All.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, good film. Excellent film. Little Timmy C. People eating people. I do love a people eating people.
Yeah.
In 5th place, I have Mads.
Sex.
Yeah. Yeah. I almost put that as my honorable mention and Bones and All in my top 5. But really
almost
like
switched.
Yeah. But why'd you say that like that?
What do you mean?
I don't know.
I just asked you a question.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Anyway, yes, I almost switched them. But Mads really does stand out above Bones and All just for the one-shot thing alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Thank you. In 4th place, I have What We Do in the Shadows.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Not as good as the show, but still
good.
Funny. Number 3, I was surprised by this, but it feels right. It's What's Inside.
Yes.
Another one that's just like a fun, good time and also has some really smart cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the critics thinking cap on when I'm thinking of these.
Yeah, I like it.
Thank you. Number 2 feels kind of like cheating because it came out December of 2024 and we just did it early into 2025, so it almost feels like cheating. But anyway, Nosferatu.
That's not cheating at all.
We did an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New movies still counted that we did episodes on.
Yeah. It was just a December new movie that we happened to do in January.
Well, it came out Christmas Day, so.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, so number two, Nosferatu.
Nice.
And number one, funny enough, Nosferatu has the number two in it, and this one has the number one in it, One Cut of the Dead.
Yes, I figured that that would be your number one. I think that was the only one you rated 5 out of 5 this year, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
So good.
Me too, I think.
Yeah, we were pretty critical this year.
Yeah.
Not as many bangers.
Well, we got to even it out, you know?
Yeah. We had a lot the year prior or the season prior.
Yeah. Season prior. I also feel like the more you watch, the less 5 out of 5s you're going to have. You know what I mean?
So true. Yeah, because I gave
Because you redacted a lot.
Yeah.
You didn't give Ready or Not. You gave Happy Death Day.
Happy Death Day. Yes,
you're right. Yeah.
No. One Cut of the Dead is absolutely 5 out of 5. And it was my Christmas present this year. I told you. I can tell the people, too.
Please do.
Begged my husband to watch it with me. And he fell asleep before anything happened. And then refused. Straight up refused. He thought it was the worst movie he's ever seen. Pissed me off. And refused to watch it again. He didn't refuse to watch it again. He refused to watch it from the beginning again. And you have to watch the whole thing from the beginning to end. You can't just pick it up again.
Yeah.
Anyway, for Christmas, he like designed these little like movie tickets and gave me like a little popcorn bucket and some candy and said that he'll watch it with me from the beginning and he won't complain. Not one time.
Did he not complain then?
We haven't watched it yet. I haven't cashed in. Oh,
got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, looking forward to hearing his review.
Yeah. It's going to be, I mean, he didn't like Sitters, so the bar's not high. But
yeah, his movie taste is questionable in my eyes. But it's fine.
Yeah. Okay. What are your top five with honorable mentions 2025 Killer Cuties podcast reviews?
Yeah, I hate choosing. So I did 3 honorable mentions.
Yeah.
And I will say I wanted to do 4 because I wanted to include It's What's Inside. But I thought 4 was too many. So I kicked it for the other ones. But I do really
That's
like
your
that
honorable mention.
That's my honorable mention, yes.
Yeah.
So my 3 honorable mentions are It Follows, The Orphanage, and Mads.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, at least we've got one in common.
Yeah, we do. I know you didn't like It Follows, which still makes me sad in my heart.
Sorry.
And then The Orphanage was my favorite horror movie for so long that I feel like I still owe it a spot. You know what I mean?
Which one's The Orphanage?
That's the one that was produced by Guillermo del Toro. It's Spanish, and she, like, her kid goes missing.
And they at the end, they get, like, locked in the basement or something. Like, the thing closes the door.
Yeah, spoiler alert. She finds out that her shutting the door knocked stuff against the hidden passageway that he was in. He died,
yeah. Okay, fair.
Yeah. I have a special place in my heart for that one.
Yeah.
All right, at number 5, making the actual list, What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes, I agree.
Yes. Fantastic horror comedy. Mm-hmm. Just overall, brilliant film. Love it. At number 4, I have a classic. Mm-hmm. I know you didn't like this one as much as I did either, but I have Suspiria. It's one of my favorite classic movies. I love the lighting. I love witches. The dance is fun. Big fan.
Yeah.
At number 3, I have kind of another classic, but a little bit more of a modern classic, Candyman.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about Candyman. Fuck.
Yeah.
I might have given that a 5.
I thought you gave it a 4.5.
Oh,
I thought we both
gave
it 4.5.
There were some like
heavy topics in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Damn it.
Yeah, you missed that one.
Yeah, I missed that one.
Yeah, I love Candyman. Number 2, I have Bones and All.
Mm-hmm.
I love that movie. It makes me cry every time. It's so good.
It's very good.
Yeah, big fan. And then number 1 is obviously One Cut of the Dead. Come on, we all knew we were going to end up here.
Yeah.
It's so good. Fantastic. Love that movie.
And honestly, I would put Mads in honorable mentions. Bump What We Do in the Shadows to fifth. Bump It's What's Inside to fourth. And put Candyman at three.
Love that.
Yeah.
Look at that. I'm an influencer.
Yeah. Not to make it all about me, but.
No, please do.
We agree on number one.
Yes. And number three. Candyman was my number three.
There you go. Wow. Amazing. And What We Do in the Shadows is our number fives now.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at us. We're so in sync.
Well, once I remembered about Candyman.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thank you. I looked at the list.
Sometimes, you know, you're going through. You see ones you like. You want them on the list. You don't think about the others.
Yeah. Okay. Now for 2026.
Yes.
No guarantee that we will be reviewing these, but these are the movies that we're looking forward to in 2026.
Yes, definitely.
I'll start with my honorable mention.
Okay.
It's Cold Storage. It's a horror comedy starring Georgina Campbell a la Barbarian, Joe Keery a la Stranger Things, and Liam Neeson a la
Taken.
Taken, yeah. I was going to say Transformers because for the longest time I thought that he played Optimus Prime, but it's actually Eeyore that plays Optimus Prime.
Oh, I was going to say a la Ice Road 2 because my mom made me watch that while I was back in town, and it was as good as you can imagine it is.
Yeah, based on that name alone and the fact it's a sequel. Did you watch the first one?
Sure did. She made me watch that last year when I was in town.
Oh, no. Yikes. Anyway, that one comes out February 13th. That's my honorable mention, just for the cast alone.
Mm-hmm.
At number five, I have Ready or Not 2.
Okay, nice.
We did an episode on Ready or Not, the first. And it was fun. Cutesy, fun. Games are cool, fun. And what isn't this one called Here We Come or something?
Ready or Not 2, Here I Come. Yeah.
Yeah. Cute. Love that. That comes out March 22nd. March 27th, excuse me. Mm. Let me do that over. That comes out March 27th. In fourth place, I have The Resurrected.
Ooh.
Do you know of this one?
No.
Oh, this is a reimagining of the original The Mummy. And it's
I did see this. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
They were just calling it by the Lee Cronin. Mummy.
Yeah.
I mean, there is also The Mummy.
Yeah, I think the article I was looking at called it like Lee Cronin's The Mummy.
Yes.
So they didn't.
Lee Cronin's The Resurrected, Lee Cronin's The Mummy. Yes.
Yeah, they didn't call it The Resurrected. So I think that's why I was.
Got it. Well, anyway, that's produced by Jason Blum and James Wan. And then obviously Lee Cronin is attached to it. So it could be good. It's a mummy. I like mummy.
Yeah,
it probably will be bad, but I'm still looking forward to it. October 9th. In third place, I have Young People.
Ooh.
This is Neon and Osgood Perkins. I'll give him another chance. He's never not one time impressed me, but, you know, this could be it. I mean, I didn't hate Long Legs, but he hasn't.
Didn't you just say how much you liked Keeper?
Is that him?
Yes.
Oh, okay. No, I do like Keeper. I liked Keeper.
You liked Long Legs, too.
Huh?
You liked Long Legs. You gave it like a 4 or 5.
Yeah, that's what I said. I didn't mind Long Legs. I said he hasn't impressed me.
I didn't say he hasn't impressive?
Made me a fine movie.
Oh, okay. Anyway, out of five for me is like, I liked it.
Yeah. I sure gave it a 4 out of 5. It's more of a 3.5.
I'm pretty sure.
I would give Keeper a 3.5, and I liked it better than Long Legs.
Because
It scared me. Mostly not even, it doesn't even have to do with Osgood Perkins. The cast is fucking crazy. It's Nico Parker from, God, I love her. Clue. She's in The Last of Us, the first couple episodes of The Last of Us. And she plays Ygritte in the live action How to Train Your Dragon.
Haven't seen it.
Okay, well, I love her. I'm obsessed with her. Nicole Kidman.
Great.
And Johnny Knoxville.
Sorry?
That's exactly what I said. That's probably the reason that this made it on the list and so high on the list is because Johnny fucking Knoxville is in a horror movie.
Interesting.
I'm looking forward to it.
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Number two, obvious one, Werewolf.
Mm.
It comes out Christmas Day. That's Robert Eggers. He has so far done no wrong. Everything that he's put out has been very good. So I'm sure this will be the same. And then last, my number one most looked forward to movie of 2026 is Hokum.
I was waiting for that one to make an appearance.
Yep. Written and directed by Danny McCarthy a la Oddity. And starring Adam Scott and set in Ireland. There's really nothing about it that I can't imagine I would not enjoy.
Exactly. Yeah.
That comes out May 1st.
Nice.
Yeah. Looking forward to that one too. Obviously, it's part of my list of looking forward to's.
It's number one.
It's number one.
Most.
Yeah. It's real close with Werewolf.
Yeah. For sure.
Okay, hit me. What are your eight movies that you're looking forward to?
Okay, first of all, it's going to be even more than that because I didn't include any franchise movies.
Okay.
Because I had to, like, narrow myself down in some way.
Yeah, otherwise it would have been strangers for all five.
No, it wouldn't, because those movies have been terrible, yeah. And they've really sullied the name of The Strangers, which I love the first one, so it's crazy they're still doing that to me. But no, for franchises like Ready or Not 2, obviously I'm excited for, Scary mm-hmm. Movie 6 is coming out, 28 Years Later, Bone Temple, and Evil Dead Burn, like, excited for those, but I couldn't add them, so I just decided to sneak them in right here, right now, as this. So... Fair. Starting now officially.
Okay.
My honorable mentions, which I do have three of. Send Help, only for Dylan O'Brien, let's mm-hmm. be honest.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cute. And next I have The Mortuary Assistant, which is based on the video game.
Oh, yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
I really liked the video game. It was very spooky, so I'm excited to see how they adapt that.
Mm-hmm.
And third is Cold Storage.
Yay!
Yeah. I like Joe Keery's music. I haven't seen all of Stranger Things, so all I've seen is the first season, which I hated his character. I get that, like, now he's very loved and he has his little redemption arc, but I haven't seen that yet, so my mind is still Shitty Steve in season one.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he does great later on. But anyways, I'm excited for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now the actual list. At number five, I have Werewolf by Dr. Eggers.
Dr. Robert Eggers.
Yes, as we like to refer to him. I do have that, which I have it at the bottom, not because he hasn't made good movies, because I agree, like, he's never put something out that I didn't like, but I feel like his movies are more... Like, I appreciate them more for the art that they are rather than them being, like, some of my favorite personal movies, if sure. that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So, I don't have still that. Excited to see it. Yeah, no. I know. But yeah, I'm excited still. Great filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
At number four, I have Alpha, which is the third movie from Julia Ducournau, who did Raw and Teton.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You weren't the biggest fan of Raw. It was too much cannibalism for you, but
yeah,
I love Raw and I love Teton, so I'm excited for her next one. At three, I have Obsession, which is going to be the first feature film debut, I think. Well, maybe Milk and Cereal counted, but it's from Curry Barker, who's done a lot of short horror films. Hmm. He did Milk and Cereal, which went viral, and then he's also... got his, like, comedy thing on TikTok that he does shorts on. But anyways, I've liked a lot of his horror stuff. It's been very interesting. I feel like he's got a lot of potential, so I'm excited to see what he does with a full feature-length film.
Nice.
At number two, I have Forbidden Fruits.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is... I feel like I'm gonna be a defender of this movie because horror comedy, produced by Diablo Cody. If it's anything like Jennifer's Body or Lisa Frankenstein, I'm in. So yeah,
it's full female cast.
Yeah.
Really right.
Very girly horror.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
And then number one, we're just so in sync. We just know it's Hokum, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Has to be. No, I was really, I liked Oddity. I thought it was very, kind of like a sneaky little hidden gem that came mm-hmm. out. And I'm excited to see what he does next.
Same. Did you ever watch the other one that he did?
Caveat?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And did you like it as much? Did I watch it?
I thought you did. Yeah, I thought you did it during our summerween.
What's it about?
It's about the guy who gets paid to, like, go stay, like, look after the guys.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's got to be chained up.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that was spooky.
Yeah, I thought, like, atmospherically and, like, it was, like, a cool, interesting, spooky movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also a movie where I'm like, I can't think about this for too long because it's insane. Like, no one's saying yes to that. That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well,
that's it.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Lots favorites from last year. To. Lots to look forward to this year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
Cool. Me too. Hokum guaranteed our May movie.
You know, I will say, the past 2 years, I watched my favorite movie of the year in May. So I don't know if that's just a lucky. I don't think either of them came out in May, though. That's the thing. I'm pretty sure I Saw the TV Glow and Sinners both came out in April, but I saw them in May.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, I'm just saying, I go to the theater in May, magic happens. So
mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
Okay, well, great. Now. Great. The real action happens.
We're getting into it. Let's do it.
I'll give everyone a little summary of today's movie, Dog Soldiers.
Please do.
Dog Soldiers is a 2002 horror military survival film starring Kevin McKidd, Emma Cleesby, and Sean Pertween, in which a routine nighttime military training mission in the Scottish Highlands goes wrong when a squad of soldiers find themselves in the middle of a bloody massacre at the hands of a pack of lycanthrope. That means werewolves.
Thank you.
I'm so sad to know. It's directed, written, and edited by Neil Marshall. And it made about £5 million on a £2.3 million budget. It has a 3.4 out of 5 on Letterboxd, a 6.8 out of 10 on IMDb, and an 82% critics and 79% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, people seem to like it. General consensus is positive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but now you get to find out how much we liked it.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
I think now is as good of a time as ever to introduce a new segment to the show.
Great.
I didn't even run this by you, but if it's okay with you...
Sure.
I would every week like to prove that every horror movie is no more than 3 degrees of separation from Twilight.
Well, this one's just kind of one, right? Right?
It's, werewolves. It's two. Well, no. I mean, like, from the cast.
Oh, okay.
Yes. This is, it's only 2 degrees of separation. This one. A record for the Killer Cuties podcast segment of how many degrees of separation is this movie from Twilight. Kevin McKidd stars in Dog Soldiers, but he's also in a film called Kingdom of Heaven in which Michael Sheen plays a part. Michael Sheen, as everybody knows, plays Aro in the sequel films of the Twilight franchise. It's only 2 degrees of separation.
Great.
That's really almost only one. Is that 1 degree or is that two?
I think that's just one, right?
Okay.
Because
a new record.
For the segment that just started, 1 degree of separation, right? Because it's someone in this movie was in a movie with someone from Twilight. That's one.
I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. I'm going to leave that segment up for you to do each time because I don't know Twilight as well as you do.
Yeah, thank you. I would just like to argue that one degree of separation would be that the person is in Twilight.
That's actually, yeah, that's, you're right. You're right.
Thank you. Thank you. So two degrees of separation. Okay.
Two degrees of separation.
All right. And we've got it. Perfect. We've got it.
Still a new record. Starting right now. You think every movie is 3 degrees at most.
At most.
Okay. Interesting.
So we would go, like, if Michael Sheen wasn't in Twilight, somebody that he has been in a movie with has to have been in Twilight.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or one of the sequels.
Yeah.
The Twilight franchise. Every horror movie, at least 3 degrees of separation, at most 3 degrees of separation from the Twilight franchise. Guaranteed. I guarantee it. And we're going to prove it.
I mean, I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you.
I'm going to start putting some niche movies on our list just so that I can try to get tricky with it, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
Okay. Well, there you go. That came up because they play Claire de Lune in this. The piano. It's a Debussy song, but it's...
Okay.
That's has a big Twilight plot or... point in Twilight. Yeah.
Got it. Well, that's a great segue into my tiny little section of fun facts, which I like to call hints that Megan's a werewolf.
Oh, yeah. In hindsight. Very obvious.
She's the one who plays Claire de Lune. Yes. Which translates to moonbeam. So, little nod.
Mm-hmm.
She also cuts her hand on a broken window, and when she does that, a very, very small segment from the music The Company of Wolves plays. Also mm-hmm. a little hint.
Mm-hmm.
And then also at one point she says that something's a 4-hour drive away, but nothing in Scotland's 4 hours away. It's a very small place. So kind of another hint that she's lying.
Mm-hmm.
Not being truthful.
Mm-hmm.
And that concludes my section. Hints that Megan's a werewolf.
Yeah. Yeah. And she says some stuff too. She says some stuff that really like, oh yeah.
Looking back.
You're a werewolf. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think even the first thing that comes out of her mouth, like something along the lines of like, are you here on a rescue mission? That could have been, are you guys being rescued or are you rescuing me?
Yeah. Which I guess, I don't know. To me, that doesn't really hint that she's a werewolf. It just hints that, like, maybe
she's in trouble. Yeah,
something's not right.
That's true. Well, we can tie that into another fun fact. In American Werewolf in London, this movie drew a lot of inspiration from that. The director did not like An American Werewolf in London, and he wanted to make this movie basically just to top it, is essentially how that happened.
Yeah, which can I just say, that's the type of petty that I'm obsessed with.
Yeah.
I love the idea of watching a movie, hating it, and then being like, I'm actually going to do this better.
Yeah. I haven't seen An American Werewolf in London, but I bet this is better than that.
I honestly don't know if I've seen that either.
We should put it on the list, probably.
Yeah, it's definitely on our list. Eventually.
Yeah. Well, anyway, in An American Werewolf in London, the soundtrack is songs with moon in the title. Yeah. Claire de Lune. Lune meaning moon. Anyway.
Moonbeam.
Yeah.
Moonbeam, I scream. Sorry.
Yeah, so anyway, there were a few other little calls to An American Werewolf in London, but none of them meant anything to me because I haven't seen it. Not London. Paris. London? Paris? Both? Both.
London, I think, was the one he watched and didn't like. I want to say Paris is the sequel.
Wait, it is the sequel.
Yeah.
The sequel. Paris is the sequel, and that's the one he thought was terrible and is like, I could do that better.
Oh, it is.
Mm-hmm. London is the one where he liked it.
Yeah.
And he put little ties to that in the film.
That makes more sense, because I think American Werewolf in London is pretty well loved.
Yeah.
The sequel? Obviously not.
Not as much. Yeah.
But yeah, there's quite a few references to other movies too, not just that. One of the soldiers in the movie is called Bruce Campbell. Oh. Bruce Campbell played Ash in The Evil Dead.
I didn't even notice that.
Yep. The "there is no spoon" is a reference to The Matrix, that line. And also apparently there was online speculation that Spoon's name was that just to make that reference, but they've said that's not true. His name was always Spoon and they just added in the reference.
Cute.
Later. Neil Marshall also said that he got a little carried away with the references and homages to other movies. He's like, maybe I put a little too many in there.
Well, what's funny about that is that as I was watching this movie, there were several times where I was like, is that where this started? Did this movie start that? Turns out, no. It's just taking inspiration from other movies.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely draws from a lot of different inspos.
Yeah.
But one thing that is in this movie that did get referenced later on is the super glue scene. That's referenced in a book called Small Favor, which is part of the Dresden Files. But it's by Jim Butcher. And basically a female character is disemboweled and talks about super glue being invented in the Vietnam War in order to stick wounded soldiers back together. And then she says, I saw that in a werewolf movie. So.
Oh, cute.
Referencing the scene in this movie where they talk about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fun.
Yeah. References originally, all around.
Yeah. Originally, they weren't even going to use the glue. But Neil Marshall, I guess he did some research or something and found out that that was something that they came up with in the Vietnam War. So he's like, let's do that instead. They were just going to stitch it up. But
yeah. Super glue's creepier, I guess.
I don't know. Well,
maybe not creepy is the right word, but more in a bind.
Scrappy, perhaps.
Yeah. And kind of a little bit more horrific than, like, being able to stitch something up, having to glue yourself together.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not ideal.
Well, so it's an older film. They're in the military. Take what you will from that. I thought when he mentioned glue, he was going to have him huff it. Mm. So, as like a painkiller. That was my first thought.
You thought they were going to get high sniffing glue?
Well, the guy that was hurt so that it was not as like bad as the they stitched him up. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I like that. They should have done that too.
Yeah.
Just been like, oh, we can use glue to stitch you up. Take a big whiff and then start going at it.
Yeah.
That would have been funny. Mr. Marshall, listen to our ideas before you make movies in 2002. Speaking of kind of that. Not really. I'm just trying to find segues where I can, okay? So everybody calm down. Yeah. Take a breather. We're going to get there eventually.
Yeah. I actually do have a good segue, but I was hoping you would do it. So let's see.
Oh. You here go. We go. Ahead. Well, we referenced the year it was made, so I was going to talk about how it was actually... He wrote the first draft in 1996.
Oh.
Was that the... No? You had a different one?
No. Mine might have been better.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
All right. I'll edit this out. You go. Okay. I want to hear yours though.
Oh, okay. Well, since we're talking about that scene specifically.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Yeah. Sean Pertwee asked Neil Marshall if he could get drunk before doing that scene so that he could act it a little better.
Yeah, that is a good segue.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And Neil Marshall said, yep, have a few. And he, to this day, does not know how many a few was, but does concur that the acting was very good. It's the best drunk acting. He was very happy with it.
Yeah. Oh my God, I have a segue for your segue.
Oh, do it. Do it. I know what it is.
The punch?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Hell yeah.
So then there's also a scene where Wells asks Cooper to knock him out. And Kevin McKidd, who plays Cooper, threw a stage punch the first time, but then misjudged the distance the second and actually punched Sean Pertwee. So he actually got hit, but Pertwee was drunk because he had asked to actually do it. So he didn't really care.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Men are a different breed.
I don't think I've ever been drunk enough. No, I have. But not many times in my life have I been drunk enough that I wouldn't feel a punch or like care if I got punched
care.
In the face.
Care, yeah.
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 And never at work.
Crazy.
Different world.
Yeah. Speaking of the year this came out.
Just kidding.
I'm joking.
No, I like it. Segue all the way back to the first segue.
No, I actually do have another good segue.
Oh my gosh.
Another injury from,
yes,
from the cast. Kevin McKidd cracked a rib in the first few days of shooting, and he tried to hide it because he didn't want to get fired. Well, turns out he couldn't hide it very well, and he did end up getting fired. They replaced him with Jason Statham, of all people.
Yeah.
Who then had to turn it down anyway due to scheduling conflicts, so they just hired McKidd again. Waited until his rib was cleared up.
Yeah. That's wild.
Poor guy.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, that's what he gets for being a terrible person on Grey's Anatomy.
Oh. I haven't seen Grey's Anatomy. He's bad.
I hate his character. Mm. A lot of people do.
You know what I was thinking? Because I looked him up. And I was like, he kind of looks like Alan Tudyk. But only if you don't look at them next to each other. Which I understand then probably means that they don't really look alike. But when I first pulled him up, I was like, oh, he kind of looks like Alan Tudyk. And then I pulled up Alan Tudyk and I was like, no, he doesn't. But then I went back and I was like, no, he does if I just don't look at Alan Tudyk.
Well, but follow-up question. How often are you looking at Kevin McKidd and Alan Tudyk together?
Only today.
Yeah.
When I thought that they looked alike.
They don't.
So yeah, but if you just have the faint idea of what he looks like and then you look at Kevin, you're like, yeah. And then you remind yourself what Alan looks like and it doesn't anymore.
I won't let you get away with this.
Sometimes things only have to make sense to you as a person, and I think that that's okay. What's the 365 button girl on TikTok? She knows what I'm talking about.
What?
You didn't see that?
No.
The comments that someone was talking about, like, New Year and, like, you know, resolutions and all that kind of stuff, and some girl commented saying, yeah, this year I'm going to have 365 buttons for work, like for every day of the year. And people were like, okay, like what are you doing with the buttons? Like, are you putting them in a jar? Are you like wearing one every day? Like what are you doing with the buttons to like, you know, like what's the thing that you're doing with them?
Yeah.
Okay. And she was like, I'm just going to have one for each day. And people were so confused. And she was like, actually, I don't have to explain myself to anybody. And it only has to make sense to me.
Sure.
And it was the funniest exchange ever. And that's how I feel right now. I'm the button girl. It doesn't have to make sense to you.
I've seen this film before.
Uh-huh.
Where I come to you with two people I think look alike. And you fucking roast me over it.
Because you actually think they look alike. I'm saying I know they don't. But if you don't, like, it's like if you drew Alan Tudyk from memory, it's Kevin McKidd.
I think it's got to be the other way around.
Okay, if you drew Kevin McKidd from memory, it's Alan Tudyk.
Sure, okay. Okay.
Okay. Segue from that. Bitch.
I don't even want to. I'm ready for bed.
All right, I'm segueing all the way back to the other fun fact that I was going to talk about, which is basically the production of this movie. Yeah, okay. I'll stop. I don't know what's wrong with me. Anyways, Neil Marshall originally wrote the first draft in 1996. And it took like 6 years to refine the script and kind of acquire financing. He had a really difficult time finding people to finance the movie. A lot of British studios were interested in the concept. They felt at that time that horror wasn't really selling well. So also a lot of people just said it was too ambitious for a first film, because this is his first feature film. He'd only done shorts previously. So he did eventually find backers. While it takes place in the Scottish Highlands, they couldn't film there because it was just going to be too expensive. So they had to film in Luxembourg. But they had like a lot of weather issues because it's just kind of erratic there. So I think he said the thing he remembers the most was how he was always covered in mud. Yeah. But everybody seemed to really appreciate, like, they had a good time on set. I think they all got really close and they wrapped ahead of schedule. So the actual filming went fairly well. But it was just kind of a process to get it to where it was. I think Marshall was on, like, the 17th or 18th draft of the script before.
Jesus.
Yeah, when they finally started shooting.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
They also said that they shot in basically chronological order. Mm-hmm. And that also helped with them building their relationship. And then more than that, as everybody was killed off, there was like a genuine sense of losing them because their filming was done after they died.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah. I have some werewolf fun facts.
Oh, good.
Marshall chose to use dancers as the werewolves instead of the typical stuntmen, mm-hmm, because he wanted to kind of highlight their grace and their, like, elegant movements. And they also designed the set size-wise to, like, force the creatures to have to bend over because he wanted them to look really big and intimidating. And they also wore, like, stilts in the costume so that they were taller.
Fun.
Yeah.
I guess Sean Pertwee had a scene in which he was just, like, so scared he was not even acting. It was, like, genuinely terrifying. Is the when the werewolf breaks through the window while he's on the bed.
Good dancer actors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They didn't use a lot of CGI either. They didn't want, like, a cheesy morph type of thing. Because, you know, typically in a werewolf movie, you see them kind of transform. That doesn't really happen. They just kind of go behind furniture and then come out fully werewolves.
Yeah.
So they kind of sidestepped that whole thing by just shielding them when they're changing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they really had two options. They had, well, I guess that's the third option. They could either be practical, which was too expensive and would have taken too long, or CGI, which a lot of the cast and crew thought was overused at the time.
Yeah.
So they went with off-camera options. Which, great.
I feel like it worked. I didn't really, like, notice. It wasn't a distraction. It worked well with what was happening in the scenes.
I will say that the one scene of, like, half Wolf Megan was a little off for me. So I'm glad they didn't lean into that any more than they did, because it was just fine. It wasn't.
It was 2002.
yeah, fair.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. I think the way that they did it without doing a full morph was probably for the best with the budget they had.
Yeah. Unrelated entirely, I just thought this was a fun little cutesy. I mean, this is the fun fact segment, so that's why I should be here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Craig Conway plays the actor that gets killed in the beginning of the movie, like the very beginning of the movie. Another person was cast for that role, but Craig Conway ended up getting it somehow. I don't know what happened. He dropped out, like, right before filming. So they ended up contacting Craig Conway, and he's like, yeah, I can be there. He ended up calling out sick for a play that he was doing for, like, he was doing at the time. He just called out sick for 2 days, flew to Luxembourg, did this other job, and then flew back and finished doing his play.
I love that. That's
funny.
Yeah.
Get your bag, I guess.
You know, sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do to be in a movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Respect the hustle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all out of segues.
Yeah,
I'm just spouting off fun facts now.
Yeah, do it.
All right. Marshall originally had a whole trilogy planned. He wanted to do sequels for this, but now he says that's probably not going to happen because he doesn't own the rights to it anymore. So it's, like,
sad.
Yeah. I think he had actually joked that it'll probably end up getting remade before it ever gets a sequel. So probably not going to happen, but one of the ideas that they had for the sequel was going to be about Cooper getting locked up in a mental institution as part of, like, a cover-up for what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then Craig Conway. Wait, actually, I do have a... Oh, my God. It's still a segue. Because you just talked about Craig Conway.
That's crazy. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
There you go.
I segued without even realizing I was segueing. That's the title of this episode, segue. Mm. Anyways, he was going to be in there, the camper, that he survived, but he got bit. So he transforms and starts causing chaos in the asylum.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Cooper kind of has to, like, do it all over again.
Yeah. Damn, he'd have to go on medical leave to get the time to do a sequel.
I mean, by now, the play's got to be done, right? Yeah,
I would hope so.
Call him up.
25 years later. It's longer than Phantom was on Broadway.
Hot damn.
I don't know about that. It might have been on longer.
Oh. Well.
Anyway.
Fake facts.
Fake facts. Phantom of the Opera was on Broadway for 25 years. To the day.
To the day.
One theory that I really like about this film is the, like, Little Red Riding Hood theory. Did you see this?
I did, yeah.
I don't know that it's been confirmed, but it is kind of like, you know, they come across a house. There's a werewolf disguised as a human. They find food just sort of, like, available to eat. They eat it. They, like, try out the beds kind of thing. There's also... I guess that was Little...
That's Goldilocks.
Yeah, that's Goldilocks. Goldilocks. Yeah, there's Little Red Riding Hood. There's Goldilocks. There's three little pigs. The big bad wolves, obviously, trying to knock down the house.
Yeah.
Just like all the little, like, classic fairy tales being... Mm-hmm. Having drawn inspiration from those.
I like it.
Yeah, fun and cute.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, speaking of the food.
Great.
I put this under a segment of facts I called cute. There's just two.
Great.
But when they enter the house and they see the food prepared, they say it looks like pork.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the movie, when they're in the basement, there's obviously bodies, human bodies.
Yeah.
And supposedly, cannot confirm nor deny, never will, legally, humans taste like pork.
I have heard that.
Do with that what you will. Yeah, cute, exactly.
Imagine they're just cannibals by day, werewolves by night.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's what's implied.
You could say that, yeah.
Yeah.
Marshall did confirm that the werewolves just feel compelled to change on the night of the full moon, but they could hold it back if they wanted to. So that, I guess, is supposed to explain why Megan transforms so much later than all of the rest of them.
Yeah.
And also just kind of makes the family worse. Because they're willingly changing, and mm-hmm. So maybe they are cannibals.
Yeah, it's literally just Texas Chainsaw Massacre is all it is.
This is just Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Meets Twilight.
Always.
Mm-hmm. My other cute fact, there's only two.
Oh, yeah, you had another, please.
Yeah, no, I wasn't ready to do it yet, but now I am.
Okay.
After the film was released, it was, for a long time, the most watched movie by British forces while they were deployed in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Just soldiers watching soldiers.
Yeah, that feels off to me, but why would you wanna, don't you wanna watch anything else?
Yeah.
Than what you are
living. I don't think so.
Yikes.
I feel like people who go into the military are the people who, like, watched Band of Brothers as kids and loved it, you know? I feel like they want to consume that type of stuff.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I watched Pearl Harbor, like, every day. What does it say about me?
You're a pilot. Killer Cutie's fun fact. Fake fact.
Killer Cutie's a pilot. Fake fact. My husband's a pilot. That's fun. That's a fun fact. True
fact. That's true. You watched Pearl Harbor every day, and then you married a pilot.
To summon a pilot.
And it worked.
But he flies a helicopter.
It's called manifesting. Yeah. Look it up, sweaty.
Give it a try. But he flies a helicopter. That's like.
And he didn't go missing, presumed dead. So it's not as hot.
Not yet. There's still time. Legally.
Wow. I'm
joking.
I hope Dylan doesn't have a friend that you might hook up with while he's gone.
Anyway.
More fun facts?
I have one.
Okay.
Segway.
Yes.
The helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
When the squad first lands out of the helicopter, Wells screams, "Get a position and bearing. I want to be on the move in 3 minutes."
Yeah.
And exactly 3 minutes later in the film, they move out.
Love that.
So fun. I never would have known that, noticed.
No, but I love little details like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what we don't have a lot of? Can't think of off the top of my head. Movies in real time.
Mads.
I mean, yeah, Mads is literally the only one.
The television series 24.
Oh, you're right. Is that any good? I know you tried to watch it.
Yeah. Most of it. I watched the first season. It was pretty good.
Yeah, we need more of that. Is it done in one shot or no?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Because it cuts between different stories that are taking place. But it's all like the 24 hours. Each episode is 1 hour in the 24 hours.
But that's not... Oh.
Yes. So it's real time because you're watching an hour-long episode.
24
and
times.
That's that hour.
Oh.
Yes. So it is essentially real time.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
And the only other way to do that is with a consecutive shot.
Well, I mean, you could do it and still cut, but you're right. It doesn't happen often that it's like, this is the hour and a half where this all takes place.
Yeah.
That's rare.
Yeah.
Well, filmmakers out there, you heard it here first. Anyways, segue, got one.
Hooray.
You mentioned the helicopter.
I did.
So insurance didn't cover the actors jumping out of the helicopter early on in the film. So that's not them. That is the crew, because most of the crew were ex-military, so they just did the jump instead.
Wow.
Yep. And then they also, a lot of the crew doubled up as Sergeant Wells' soldiers as well.
Cute.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Recycle. Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Yes.
Another one of those cutesy little things I probably wouldn't have noticed had I not read it. Is that Ryan, when Cooper kills him, shoots him in the head. That's what he did to the dog.
Yep.
His comeuppance.
Yeah.
That's what you get.
Fucked, buddy.
And not the dog. Not the dog. Not Sam. The dog at the beginning of the film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The dog that actually gets shot.
Gets shot. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Which, segue...
Segway.
Sam, the dog, supposedly was not great to work with. The least trained dog, worst movie trained dog, according to the director.
Yeah. He did say he was lovely, but just not well trained. So, yeah.
Which is crazy. You think that when you find a dog for your film, it should be trained well.
That's kind of the one thing you're looking for. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do?
Yeah. I do like the theory about Sam being the dog of the werewolves and them like hiding him away when they know that they're going to turn into werewolves just in case he, you know, if something goes
gets
bad.
Hurt.
Yeah, yeah. They don't want him to get hurt. I do like that theory.
Which makes sense because he, like, why else would he be locked in the thing when they get there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe that's another reason that Megan stays human is to take care of the dog.
Yeah.
Or at least to like lock him up.
The dog. I like it. One little thing that I was glad I saw a fun fact about, because I always felt that that part didn't make a lot of sense. is when Cooper and Megan kind of like get into it, and he's like, oh, all women are the same. And they like have that little scuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was kind of like, that kind of just like, yeah, he like mentions that he's scared of women earlier, but like there's no context for that.
Yeah.
Apparently there's a deleted scene that clarifies that his girlfriend cheated on him recently. And that's why he like has these feelings. So I almost kind of wish that they would have kept that, because it does feel like it kind of comes out of nowhere without Fair. That.
Yeah.
Like I was like, damn, what did we do to you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Aww. Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Men are worse.
So true.
Well, any other fun facts?
Just one.
Okay. Hit me.
People have kind of pinpointed when the movie takes place. They say probably between the 1st and the 2nd of September 2001, because the newspaper at the end talks about the football game that happened, and England did beat Germany that on the 1st, 5-1, and those nights were full moons, so it lines up.
There you go.
Yeah.
Isn't the full moon only on one night? Oh, got it. I see.
Yeah. Saying. Like the night that overlaps the night, the those movie, two.
And the night, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Fun. Another cute yes. little deet.
What about you? Any other last minute fun facts?
I don't think so.
There was quite a bit for this. I was kind of surprised.
It's a cult classic. People want to know. And I guess there's like a Blu-ray or something.
There's HD. A DVD commentary.
Yeah.
With yeah. commentary. Where Marshall kind of talks about a lot of different stuff that happened, but.
Yeah. I guess people were pissed about that being released because they had like they used like spare footage or something on it and the quality was really terrible.
Yeah, because they didn't have, for independent movies, there's no real like storage place that they keep those. Like you make a movie with Warner Brothers, yeah, they have a whole location where they store all of that film.
Mm-hmm.
But for independent films, it's kind of like, does the production studio still have it? We don't know. Yeah. We don't know. So it was really hard to locate anything that they could for it.
Yikes.
Sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we rate?
I think so. How scary did you think it was?
I give it a 0.5.
Yeah.
It's not that scary. And it's kind of like full on. Like there's not a lot of tension.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of like either big and loud or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I also gave it a 0.5. Just really not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just.
Yeah. It's also werewolves. Like,
yeah.
That's not that scary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How sexy did you think it was?
I don't know. I don't know. This is just Pearl Harbor meets Ginger Snap, so.
Oh, yeah.
In a weird way. I gave it a full 3.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't even like military movies. Like, I'm not, like, a big... I'm like, yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's more of, like, the historical... The, like, the uniforms, I guess. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But... How about you?
Great. I did not get those vibes from this movie.
Oh.
Military is not sexy to me.
Yeah.
At all.
Sure.
And Ginger is sexy, mm-hmm. but there's not really a Ginger equivalent in this, is there?
Megan.
So, yeah, I did give it 1 point, and the half a point was just for Megan.
Okay.
Because, like, you know, Monster Woman, that's pretty hot.
Sure.
But otherwise, no. I didn't get the vibes of it. Sorry.
No, no. To each their own.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how fucked up did you think it was?
I gave it a 0.5. I didn't think there was anything, like, too crazy in here. And a lot of it's kind of nothing padded with...
one thing.
The dog?
Yeah. The dog that playing tug-of-war with a man's intestines.
Oh, that was kind of funny.
I mean, yeah, funny, yes. But I also... feel
like, yeah, some of the darker moments kind of were, like, padded with comedies or yeah. like at least dark humor, so it didn't like have the impact that it would otherwise.
Sure.
Yeah. What about you? That bumped it for you?
That did bump it up for me. It was still funny, but like, what the fuck? Yeah. So I gave it a 1.5.
That's fair.
I also didn't like, what really bothered me most about that those scenes is how like with it he was.
Mm.
Like, you should be unconscious at least.
Yeah, too awake.
Yeah.
For it to be comfortable.
Yeah. You shouldn't have to see your intestines out of your body. Like, that just...
All right. Overall, what did you think of Dog Soldiers?
Yeah, this was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I, again, am not a fan of military survival. I'm not, like, an American Sniper kind of girl. I'm more of the, like, romance, historical... It's just Pearl Harbor. That's really the only one.
Right.
But it did have werewolves, and they were well done werewolves. I wasn't complaining ever about the puppetry or the animatronic. That was good. It was good. Yeah. It was good. It did have fun, quotable dialogue that wasn't off-putting. Sometimes if you do quotable dialogue or like you try to do it too chintzy, it's like not fun. Mm-hmm. The characters were a little likable and unlikable when needed. And it had a twist that still allows for rewatchability, which I think is important. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, wow, I can never watch that again because it'll never be the same. You can still watch it, and it's still fun. It had a dog in it, a cute dog, blood, explosions, fun accents, and Kevin McKidd, who I do like, despite him playing my least favorite character in Grey's Anatomy. So anyway, all to say, I gave it a 3.5 out of 5.
A very fair and just rating.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. What'd you give it?
I surprisingly like this movie because for a while I did avoid it. People would say, oh yeah, if you want werewolf movies, you know, Dog Soldiers, that's up there. And I always just heard the word soldiers and thought, that's not for me. So I avoided it for a very long time. And then I finally watched it and was very pleasantly surprised because it is good. It's well done. It's, yeah, a product of its time, but I don't think it's, like, aged super poorly. Mm-mm. In terms of the special effects. The acting's great. The story's fun. The Megan twist is always a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, but it kind of, like, if someone made me watch this movie and then asked me who directed it, I probably would have said Danny Boyle. Something about it feels very 28 Days Later to me.
Sure.
And I don't know if it's just like the kind of chaotic camera movements and military men, but like, I don't know. It just strikes me as that. It does not strike me as like the same guy who made The Descent, but also another banger movie. So, you know, mm-hmm. What are you going to do? Anyways, that's just a random thought I had. All in all, I like this movie a lot. I think it's very underrated. I don't like werewolf is not a genre that I typically go for. Unless I'm watching Ginger Snaps.
Yeah.
But this is probably like a close second in terms of my favorite werewolf movies.
Wow.
So all that to say, I give it a 4 out of 5. I like this
movie.
I know. I liked it more than you.
Eat jam. It. I will. Wow. Crazy. Yeah. I never would have guessed that you liked it more than me.
Yeah.
It being a military film.
It doesn't seem like a movie that's for me.
No, not at all. I mean, I knew you'd like it.
Yeah. Well, because it's a good movie.
It is. It's a good film.
Yeah. It is. I like its letterboxed. Because you know how most letterboxed ratings are like, it's like a little bell curve, right? Like,
yeah.
Gets higher in the middle, down on the sides most of the time. Mm-hmm. This one's like flat on both sides and then very high. 3 to 4 is just all the ratings. All the ratings are between a 3 and a 4. It's very funny.
Everybody thinks it's good.
Everybody likes it.
Yeah. Everybody thinks at least it's good.
At least it's a 3.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Anyways, cool. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Fun little... I feel like it's also kind of wintry. Like, it feels cold. Is that fair to say? No.
Well, it feels wet.
Yeah, and cold.
An explosion. Fire.
Yeah, so that's not a weather, but it's true.
Could be. You didn't live in Jurassic.
That's so true, actually. Anyways, it feels like a winter film to me. I don't know why.
Okay, well, sure.
Anyways, we're starting the new year off strong.
Yeah.
It's a decent rating for a new movie. The real question, though, is would you survive?
I mean, I'm not in the military. So.
Yeah. No. Oh, so you're a werewolf?
No, I'm not in the film.
Well, no, so that's not an option.
No.
We've talked about that. So you do have to put yourself in the situation of the film.
Well, if I have to be in the film, which I guess that is what we've done for the last 150 some episodes.
Yeah.
I'm not in the military. So yeah, I'm a werewolf and
they all die.
They all die. Yeah. Well, I think there's one that is not explained. Maybe right? Lives.
Yeah. Yeah. There's one that's like not accounted for. So we don't know if it actually got blown up or not.
Yeah.
But
well, the odds aren't in my favor. So I'm going to say dead. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, probably not.
Mm.
I'm also not and never would be in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see myself faring well if I'm fighting against people in the military or werewolves. So I think no matter where I'm at, it's not looking good for me.
Yeah. Yikes. Well, we can't win them all.
Nope.
Great. Starting
you're off strong by dying.
Strong film.
A duo death.
But
weak
dead.
People.
Oh.
That's us.
Rude.
Sorry. Maybe we'll survive next week. Tell us what the plot of Saint Maud is, Katie.
Oh, God. Okay, yes. So I will now guess the plot of next week's film, Saint Maud.
Yes.
It has to be something that we haven't done in a while. And if I remember correctly, which odds aren't great, period piece. It's a period piece because that's what I want. I want it to be a period piece. And I'm basing that off of the fact that the main character's name is Maud.
Mm.
And I think it's like sort of Midsummer vibes. A la... Cult, yes, but she's like the leader, and that's why she's like saint. She's a saint.
Got it.
Alternatively, it could be a place called Saint Maud. That's probably more likely. But we'll go with it. She is. See, I didn't have time to think about this at all.
Yeah, I kind of sprung it on you.
Sprung it on me. Yes, you did.
Yeah, my bad.
It's a cult. Okay, so it's a cult.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe in ghosts. And the ghosts are real. And Saint Maud can talk to them. And see them.
Yeah.
And they make her... Her name is just Maud at the beginning. When she joins the cult or she's like with the cult or whatever. But then they see her having conversations with people where with nobody. She's having conversations with the ghosts.
Right.
So they're like, oh my God, she is who we've been waiting for. She
the prophet.
She can speak to the ghosts. And then they make her the May Queen equivalent. The equivalent.
Nice.
Of May Queen. Not like actually because it's not Midsummer. Yeah, that's what I've got. I don't think she lives. I think Saint Maud dies. They have to sacrifice her to feed the ghosts.
Yeah.
As one does.
Well, no.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, you got some points, right?
Is Saint Maud a person or is it a place?
A person.
Oh, good.
Yes. That's correct.
Okay.
Maud is the main character.
Does she die?
Well, I mean, I couldn't tell you that.
Well, you
that
could.
Would be a spoiler, Katie.
No. Is it a cult?
I have to be a little careful on how I answer that.
Oh, okay.
No, it's...
That's mainly a joke.
Oh.
It deals a little bit with Catholicism.
So, yes.
So, depending on your interpretation of religion, possibly.
Okay.
But I would say not, like, cult in the way that you're thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, well,
she's
I mean,
religious.
Yeah, I was thinking religious cult.
Yes, but I mean, like, the movie, the plot itself does not revolve around a cult.
Got it.
She's okay. Just religious. That's it.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Could be fun. I do like things that have to do with religion and Catholicism.
You do.
Although I didn't like that one movie with the Pope and, like, somebody... There's like an explosion or something. Do you remember?
Conclave?
Yeah, something. Is there like a bomb?
Yeah, and I tried to get you to watch it because I thought you would love it, and then you never finished it.
I didn't finish it. I started it. I got like 2.5 hours in. That's 2.5 hours more than I needed to watch.
It just seemed right up your alley. The soundtrack was good.
I know.
The score was good. It was all about pomp and circumstance.
I know.
It was about Catholicism. It was everything you love in a movie. It's like Wall-E all over again, where I'm like, this just seems like a Katie movie. And then you don't like it. And it's
Wall-E,
crazy.
Wall-E has grown on me.
Wall-E's a great film,
a child,
Katie.
But yeah, the first time I watched Wall-E, I hated it. I just didn't get it. I just didn't get it.
I hope you get Saint Maud.
Thank you.
I hope it's not a flop for you.
Thanks.
But you never know. All right, cool. Well, I'm glad you like Dog Soldiers. Again, Happy New Year. If you're listening, thank you so much for sticking with us. We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. And tell us in the comments what 5 movies you are looking forward to most in 2026, please, so that we can add them to our list too, all of our honorable mentions.
Yes, absolutely. Please do that. Please feel free to like and subscribe. And we'll see you next week for Saint Maud.
Bye.
Bye.